Shalom to the bride of Christ. God bless you wherever you are. This is the Bride TV, the channel with the present truth. As we always say, a timely technology for a time like this, established by God Himself to be a storehouse for His bride in this age. It's a pleasure to have you with us on Rapture Watch, where we watch and prepare for the coming of the Lord. I'm Olumide Jesus David, and today we have a very interesting topic to look into, something very, very vital for us to watch. And doing justice to this interesting topic of ours, he's no longer a guest anyway. He's the overseer of the Bride Assembly Lagos Church. He's watching with us, and that's Brother Moses Alu. Shalom, sir.
Come. Shalom, shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. Welcome to another episode of the Rapture Watch. When we watch, and when we say watch, we're talking of preparation.
Amen.
To meet with the Lord.
Amen and amen.
For one of these days, it will become a reality.
Hallelujah.
He that will come shall come.
Amen.
And we will be with him forevermore. So Amen. We are preparing to meet him. It's needful that we watch.
Amen.
Please take a lot of these things we say here, take them seriously. It will help you Amen. In your preparation for homegoing.
Amen.
Shalom.
Well, on our last episode of Rapture Watch, we saw something interesting. Damnable heresies. And we'll continue in that light today. Damnable heresies. So this will be the volume 2. Damnable heresies. And our text is from the book of Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord about them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Damnable heresies. A very interesting topic. Last week we saw about eternal security, you know, a doctrine we cherish so much. We have people saying it's from the pit of hell, but thank God, by the Issachar anointing, by the spirit of truth, we're able to do justice to it. And today we have something also interesting, in fact very, very controversial in Christendom today, and that's about the doctrine of water baptism. For instance, there's a video that's gone viral of a popular man of God here in Nigeria saying that water baptism is not relevant for salvation today. And he spoke a lot of grammar and did a lot of biblical permutations. So let's start from there, sir. Let's watch the video of Pastor Abel Damina speaking against water baptism.
Good evening, Global Papa.
Evening.
My name is Ebenezer Francis Omo. Papa, earlier this morning today, there was a disagreement somewhere. The person was trying to tell us that we disagree on the fact that one cannot be saved outside water baptism. Then we tried to reference him back to the thief on the cross, which Jesus said to him that your sin has been forgiven and today you'll be with me in paradise, which we said that your sin has been forgiven and is saved. I saw in that place that there was no water baptism to the thief. So there was so much disagreement, and I believe right now, as I'm talking to you, Papa, please, we want you to give a clarity of this very question, because the person is watching live right now.
Oh, that's a beautiful one. Very good. John, okay, John chapter 1 verse 29. John chapter 1 verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. John is the father of baptism. Okay, so that's why we're starting with the father, the founder, the originator of water baptism. The John, oh, that John. Oh, not this John, that John.
Oh, no.
That John is the founder of water baptism. So the next day, John, the founder of water baptism, seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Next verse. This is he of whom I said, after me, John the baptizer, cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Next verse. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest. Please take note of that. But that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, am I come baptizing with water. That is the purpose for water baptism, is to announce Jesus to Israel. This is John himself talking. Next verse. And John bore record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Next verse. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Next verse. And I saw him and bore record that this is the Son of God. So John has given you the purpose of water baptism is to announce Jesus. Then John the Baptist himself said, I indeed baptize with water, but the mightier than I will not use water. He will baptize with the Holy Ghost. So today, who is baptizing you? Is it John or Jesus? If it is Jesus, Jesus doesn't use water. Jesus uses Holy Ghost. If it is John, John uses water. So what is water? Water is symbolic of the Spirit. You didn't hear that. Water is symbolic of the Spirit. How do I prove that? John chapter 7 verse 38. The same John. John chapter 7 verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Next verse. But this spake he of the Spirit. The water is symbolic of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So since the Holy Ghost had not come, they used water. But the moment the Holy Ghost came, water expired.
That's it from Pastor Ibel Damina. And he said a few things which I would love you to comment on, Pastor Moses.
Yes.
Firstly, he said the founder and the originator of water baptism was John the Baptist.
No. There's something I also take note here. I wish I can have an audience with
Pastor
Abel Damina. I wish I can. Now I see why Jude
my.
Gave that injunction, or that admonishment rather, in Jude verse 3.
Jude verse 3 says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
You are to contend for earnestly. The faith that was delivered
unto the saints.
I have to stress this before I answer your question.
Please do so.
Peter was the one that warned us about damnable heresies.
That's right.
Damnable heresies. Why did he call it damnable heresies? Because it is heresy is error. Error that will lead you to death. Error that will lead you to damnation. They are the damnable heresies. Imagine how water baptism has been downplayed. And see them there because of the beautiful way, you know, eloquent way he has presented his error. You see, somebody even went into tongue to see how a big teacher he is. It's really unfortunate.
Very, very sad. Very.
Take note of what Apostle Paul spoke in Galatians chapter 1.
My Lord and God.
From verse 6.
Galatians 1 6, from 7, verse 8. 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ.
This teaching that this man is teaching is a perversion of the gospel of salvation.
But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, as we said before, so say I now, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
See, let him be
accursed.
That means it is the apostolic teaching is our foundation for our faith.
Amen.
Anything contrary to it, you know, is different.
Amen.
Now, I want you to note that Jesus himself gave this warning. All of you that sit in that crowd that is sitting there clapping hands. What did he say in verse 24? In Mark chapter 4, verse 24.
Mark 4, 24. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that ye shall more be given.
The fact is, take heed how you hear. Take heed what you hear. It is what Eve had that reduced us to where we are today. That's why they are called damnable heresies.
That's right.
The serpent preached a damnable heresy. And see where we are today. Your question again, please.
Okay. The first statement I picked from what he said is that the founder and originator of water baptism was John the Baptist.
No. That is another error.
Why do you say so, sir?
Water baptism has been a practice in Israel.
Wow.
Even before the birth of John the Baptist. Water baptism has been a tradition. Water baptism is part of the law. If I have a write up here, I don't know if I can read it.
Fire, sir.
So that it's a tradition that was there. You know, I got this printed out from the net. Now, this is what he has to say. He said, many Christians think that baptism originated with Yeshua's cousin, John. That is Yochanan and John. He said, who is known in the Bible as John the Baptist? That is, the people here is including Abel Damina. He said, but baptism is a biblical ritual that has been practiced regularly by all Israel since the days of Moses.
Wow.
The word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, which primarily means a thorough change of condition accomplished through immersion. It is written in Bibles to take the place of the Hebrew word tevila, to totally immerse. This ritual immersion in water is carried out in mikvah, which is a Hebrew word meaning gathering of water, that is a pool of water. It's called mikvah. For the observant Jew, the mikvah personifies both the womb and the grave, and consequently rebirth. It is regarded as a pure, unadulterated avenue of connection with God. And for that reason, it is a place where hope is reawakened and strengthened. The mikvah, the pool of water, therefore, plays an important role from preparation for marriage and Yom Kippur to the purification of menstruant women. Tevila, full body immersion, marks a change of status from being tame to taho, ritually unclean, that is impure or unfit for the presence of God, to ritually clean.
Wow.
This is necessary because anytime a person is to come into the presence of God, they must come taho, pure. You see, and entering a mikvah, a pool, therefore, is commanded in scripture for a number of common life events. For example, it was forbidden to come into the presence of God in the temple without first passing through a pool. Mikvah. You see, today, Chassidic men or ultra-Orthodox Jews enter the mikvah before Shabbat. And some even go every day of the week before morning prayers.
Wow.
Scripture instructs that anyone who becomes ritually unclean through contact with a dead or diseased person needs to be immersed in water before re-entering the temple. It was part of the law. That's what you see in Leviticus chapter 14. A mikvah was also to take place after a leper had been declared healed by the priest. The Lord said to Moses, these are the regulations for the deceased person. At the time of his ceremonial cleansing, he must wash his clothes and bathe himself with water, and he will be clean. That is Leviticus chapter 14. As well, a woman who completes her menstrual cycle needs to be immersed before resuming sexual relations with her husband. And that is in Leviticus chapter 15. This commandment is still observed today. The rabbis explained that this period of abstinence, called the nidah, he said, teaches husbands and wives the need for discipline, respect, and moderation. In the most traditional Jewish mikvah, that is the pool, a woman must thoroughly wash her entire body, even down to her finger and toenails, before entering the mikvah. Now, let me just read this paragraph again. Another significance. Today, one of the most widely practiced uses of the mikvah is in the pre-wedding preparation of the bride and groom.
Wow.
It's a way of becoming ritually pure before marriage. There is no better way to enter a marriage than to start off being pure. The bride is immersed as close to the wedding as possible, even on the afternoon before the ceremony. It's customary for Chassidic men to go to the mikvah before their wedding as well. And today, many observant Jews have also taken on this custom. I think I can stop for now.
Wow.
Here. Therefore, you can see that baptism has been a process for purification.
Right from the days of Moses.
Right from the days of Moses, who gave the law.
Wow. So you've just opened the eyes.
So it was not something invented by John the Baptist.
So this knowledge will be, a lot of people will just be hearing this for the first time.
Yes.
Now, water baptism did not originate from John the Baptist.
No, at all.
Wow.
It's about washing. It's about washing. It's about washing from various conditions. Leviticus chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16.
Wow.
They are all lined up there. If concerning the scapegoat, concerning the sin offering, concerning the lepers, and various ones, you know.
Wow.
And even after killing the sacrifice that you kill has to be washed again.
So we can find them in Leviticus 14, Leviticus 15, Leviticus 16.
This about this washing, they are there.
Wow. So that's very interesting. That's it, viewers. I think our pastor has opened our eyes to something interesting today. Water baptism didn't originate from John the Baptist
at all,
and he has given us some scriptural fossils, Leviticus 14, 15, and 16. So let's go and dig deep. Let's go and find out if these things are there. Another thing he said the purpose of water baptism was to announce Jesus.
No. How can water baptism announce Jesus? Wow. That was the minute. Which scripture did he give for that?
He started quoting John chapter 1 from verse 29 downwards.
Let's see the context there.
Okay, John chapter 1 from verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water.
Okay, that is the scripture is giving that meaning. That he should be made manifest. to Israel. That's why he came baptizing with water. The message of John the Baptist was not come for baptism.
Ew.
The ministry of John the Baptist was not baptizing. The ministry of John the Baptist was to say, behold, to point people and to point people to Christ, the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. And to prepare them for what Jesus Christ, you know, the new thing that was coming up, they had to clean up themselves because they were in an estate that they will not receive Christ. They will not walk with God at the estate that they were in. For anybody to say, because you interpret that scripture, it was so that they will introduce him, that is why he came baptizing. Well, I you know, in the context of that scripture, you have to read it and give the proper meaning. You know, that to baptize somebody is not a ministry. That's why Apostle Paul had to even say, God didn't call me to come and baptize. He came here rebuking the religious people. His baptism was for repentance. You see, you have to understand that it's important. Let's see maybe if we can read some scriptures.
Okay.
But this is very serious. Matthew chapter 3, let's start from there, from verse 1, or read it up to verse 12.
Matthew 3 from verse 1 to 12. Okay. In those days came John the Baptist,
yes,
preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Can you see the sermon he was preaching? What was he telling them?
Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mm. And the kingdom of heaven is going to come through Christ.
Amen.
Okay, read on.
For this is it that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord.
That is what Isaiah had prophesied. And that is what he's fulfilling.
Make his path straight.
Uh-huh.
And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leading girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins.
What were they doing?
Baptized of him, confessing their sins.
So repenting. It was for repentance. Go on.
Wow.
Read on.
When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Mm-hmm. Bring forth therefore fruit meat for repentance.
For
repentance.
Repentance. Go on. Read up to verse 12.
Wow, I'm seeing things that
go on.
Okay, bring forth therefore fruit meat for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham.
Uh-huh.
And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.
Uh-huh.
I indeed baptize you with water.
Now, please take note of verse 11 and verse 12.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance.
Unto what? What was it for?
Repentance.
Is it unto Jesus? Repentance. But
he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
So, water baptism was for repentance.
Amen.
It is a purification process to wash away your uncleanness, as was done under the law.
Amen.
Now, that is what Apostle Paul was explaining in Acts chapter 19 to those people he saw from verse 1.
Acts 19 from verse 1 says, yes. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost.
You see now, okay.
And
according to Abel Damina, water baptism ended with John the Baptist. Now it is Jesus' ministry, but the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But see what happened in this discussion.
And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized?
What type of baptism did you baptize?
And they said unto John's baptism.
John is the one that baptized us.
Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance.
Of what?
Repentance.
Of what?
Repentance.
Okay.
Saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Is it baptism of the Holy Ghost that Apostle Paul baptized in the name of Jesus?
No, water baptism.
It was water baptism. And John had long gone. Mm. And these are the disciples of John the Baptist. Mm. Okay, now, so because it is for repentance, it is a cleansing process. Mm. Apostle Paul was now giving his own testimony in Acts chapter 22.
Acts 22.
From verse 6 to 16. See here the way it went after his conversion.
Acts 22 from verse 6.
Yes.
And it came to pass that as I made my journey, I was come nigh unto Damascus about noon. Suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me.
That is his conversion.
And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Uh-huh. And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Uh-huh. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid. But they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Uh-huh. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And
the now Lord hear said what he me, said, what the Lord told him.
And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go in into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, uh-huh. having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. Uh-huh. The same hour I looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, uh-huh. and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Uh-huh. But that shall be his witness unto all men of all that thou hast seen.
Now, note verse 16.
And now, why tarriest thou?
Now, what are you waiting for, Paul?
Arise and be baptized.
Arise and be baptized. Is it Holy Ghost baptism?
No, and wash away thy sins.
What is it for?
Wash away thy sins.
What is it for?
Wash away thy sins.
To wash away thy sins. Doing what?
Calling on the name of the Lord.
Calling on the name of the Lord. Hmm. So you are coming to Christ as a sinner. The provided way, the ordinance he gave is repent. And using that water system, provision is a purification process. Mm,
a ritual for purification.
Because it is for the remission of your sins.
Hallelujah.
You have to, take note of that. Mm. Now, I want you to note something here, that in John chapter 20.
John chapter 20.
Verse 21 to 23. Mm.
Okay. John 20, 21 to 23 says, Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has
said to the disciples,
even so send I you. Uh-huh. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost.
What did he say?
Receive ye the Holy Ghost.
Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Uh-huh.
Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Uh-huh. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Okay.
So he told the disciples, Whosoever sins you remit,
They are remitted
unto them. It's not this Catholic one of you coming to make confession to Reverend Father and say, Your sins be remitted. Amen. Not that too. Your sins be forgiven. Amen. It's not that. Mm. So, let's see how the apostles
remitted
the sins.
Hallelujah.
In Acts chapter 2.
I'm there, sir.
In Acts chapter 2.
Amen. From verse what?
From verse 36.
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly.
That's the first sermon. Mm. The first sermon after the Holy Ghost came
amen
down.
Amen and amen.
After the Holy Ghost came down.
After the Holy Ghost
After Jesus gave them the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Okay.
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified,
yes,
both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission,
of the sins.
So, and ye shall receive the
gift. And then after you have baptized, water baptism, and your sins are remitted,
oh my,
then Jesus will give you the Holy Ghost.
Amen and amen.
You know, so I don't know how our dear brother.
You have answered him, because the other two things he said was that Jesus doesn't use water, he uses Holy Ghost.
Of course. He uses Holy Ghost.
Yeah, and then he said water is symbolic of the Spirit.
You know, you have to understand that water baptism is an ordinance.
Amen.
And we have three ordinances for the church.
Hallelujah.
The first ordinance is water baptism. The second ordinance is the communion. And the third ordinance is the feet washing. Now, all these are things we do physically that has spiritual implication or spiritual effects. And our dear brother Abel has to understand that just as the law was a shadow of things to come,
that's right,
there were all those ordinances and everything was speaking of something. So also, there are still some ordinances, these three ordinances, that has to do with salvation. And, you know, one of it, you know, is this water baptism. And Abel must not take that lightly. It's so important until in Matthew chapter 3.
Matthew 3.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Let's start with that. Christ, in verse 13. 14 and 15.
Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee.
Okay.
And comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness.
See, what did he say?
Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness.
Us. Now I want you to note I want to make sure we don't digress. Let's stay so that we don't go too far.
Okay.
What did he say? To fulfill what?
All righteousness.
To fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. What is righteousness? The right standing before God about what, I mean, God's unacceptable way. Remember that in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father except by me.
Hallelujah.
Now, by me here is because you have to follow him. Follow his teachings. Follow his ways. Follow him. If he is the way, then he's come to show us. The songwriter said he comes from heaven to earth to show the way.
Amen.
So he said, let's fulfill all righteousness. What is the righteousness? You just introduced me that I am the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Would there be, if I am going to take away the sin of the world, then there are certain things that we will go through.
Wow.
Now, listen very well. Let's fulfill all righteousness. He came to bear the sins of the world. Even then, all Adamic race had sinned and imputed into us is this Adamic sin.
Amen.
So all flesh, he came and put on sinful flesh. Though he was no sin, in him was no sin. But so that he will identify with his people, with his children. Therefore, this flesh here, the process of the redemption is that this flesh must be washed first before you offer that sacrifice. When he said fulfill all righteousness, so many things were fulfilled there. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 was fulfilled there. He became the temple of God. Now watch it. He came to show us the way. Read Malachi chapter 1, chapter 3 verse 1.
Malachi 3 verse 1 says,
yes.
Behold.
Now see, we are going to fulfill all righteousness. Please note this thing I want to point out. It's a capital, because maybe you have never heard me say this. Go ahead.
Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts.
And the Lord whom you seek, the messenger that he sent was who?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist. Read it again. Let's pick it line by line.
Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before
me. That is John the Baptist, is that messenger. Uh-huh.
And the Lord whom you seek shall...
This Lord whom you seek here is the God of Israel who you serve. We shall suddenly do what?
Come to his temple.
He will come into his temple.
Even the messenger of the covenant whom now, you delight in.
Now, let us fulfill all righteousness. Now, he is going to receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He's going to receive the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible says in John 3:34 that Christ received not the Spirit
by measure.
Why? Because Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 or so, he said, the fullness
of the Godhead,
dwelt in him bodily.
Amen.
Now, see it. He is showing us the way. Peter came the same way. Repent first and be baptized
in the name of the Lord Jesus
for the remission of your sins.
Amen.
And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Somebody said, who baptized the
apostles?
The disciples of Jesus.
Yes.
Who baptized them? Certainly, they baptized unto repentance.
Amen.
They baptized John's kind of baptism under the law. They had cleaned up themselves because remember, salvation was for them. They had cleaned up themselves. Jesus came and cleaned up himself to show you the way. Let's fulfill all righteousness. The Father is going to incubate me now. But before he incubates me, I have to wash.
Amen.
And you see in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16.
Matthew 3 from verse 16.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. When he was baptized.
After he was baptized, water baptism, what happened?
Went up straightway out of the water.
Uh-huh.
And lo, the heavens were opened unto him.
And
he saw the Spirit of God descending.
And he received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That is the fulfilling all righteousness. Because remember that the Bible referred to him in Romans 8:29 as the firstborn
among many brethren. Amen.
Remember that Hebrews chapter 2 lets us know that he came and took upon himself the nature of man, flesh and blood, so that he will identify with us.
Amen.
And so he was 100% human, but the fullness of God dwelt in him, making him Emmanuel.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, so you have to catch that he came there. It was a fulfillment of all righteousness. Before you receive the Holy Ghost, you must repent. Water baptism cleanses you. And even if you have received the Holy Ghost before the water, you must still go.
Amen.
And wash yourself, you know, in the water for purification.
Amen.
So that you can appear clean before the Lord. And that's why 1 Peter chapter 3.
1 Peter chapter 3.
Yes. Verse 18 to 21.
Okay. For Christ also has once suffered for sins,
the
just for the unjust, that might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the feet of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God.
It is the answer of a good conscience. It is a response from your mind, from your heart. The answer of a good conscience. What is that answer? It is your identification with what happened on the cross on Calvary.
So this scripture you just dropped is a serious bomb.
Yes.
Because it says baptism doth also now save us.
Yes.
So it's necessary for salvation.
It is necessary for salvation.
Wow.
Salvation begins from water baptism. And watch it, that water baptism is for repentance, because you must first repent. While baptism of the Holy Ghost is for regeneration.
Amen. Settled.
You clean yourself with the water and get yourself ready for your nature change. For regeneration.
Wow.
So, for anybody to downplay a process for salvation, it is a damnable heresy.
I agree with you, sir.
Yes. So you see that it is what we call a prophetic action. When they say answer of a good conscience, that is what you see in Romans chapter 6.
Romans 6.
From verse 3. Watch the way Apostle Paul described it.
Romans 6 from verse 3 says, yes. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Okay.
For if you have been planted together in the likeness of his death.
How are you planted?
Immersion.
In the likeness of what?
Of his death.
So you are identified with his death.
We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
You see, we still have the hope now of resurrection with
him. Hallelujah.
That is what you are actually
symbolizing.
Go on.
Okay. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed.
You see?
That henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him.
That is what you demonstrate by that water baptism.
Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, died no more.
Yes.
Death hath no more dominion over him.
That is what that prophetic action is speaking of.
For him that he died unto sin once.
Yes.
But him that he liveth unto God.
And finally.
Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
So you, why will somebody read the Bible, read this? Maybe he has not read these scriptures to really see the impact of these scriptures.
Wow.
Now, when we talk about, it has something to do with your salvation.
Amen.
I want you to understand what Jesus Christ spoke in Matthew chapter 16. Where after Peter told him, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And in verse 18 and verse 19, hear what he said.
Matthew 16, verse 18 and 19.
Yes.
And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
And what?
And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom
again?
Of heaven.
Read
and I will give
again.
Unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
Again.
And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
Uh-huh.
And whatsoever thou shalt bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
The key there is not to bind and to loose. So there are two things he has given Peter here. The first thing is that keys to the kingdom of heaven.
Hey,
and secondly, authority to bind and to loose.
Amen.
What is the key to the kingdom of heaven? What is the key? What is the key? What is a key?
Hallelujah.
A key unlocks a door
amen.
For you to go into the kingdom.
Amen and amen.
And this is the key. Key was given to who?
Peter.
Peter. And on the day of Pentecost, he applied it in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38.
Amen.
Please,
and amen.
For emphasis, read it again.
Acts 2, 37 and 38.
That is the key. To enter
verse 38, yes.
The kingdom, that is the key to the rapture.
Then,
this is rapture watch.
Then Peter said unto them,
yes.
Repent.
That is the key. Number one, repent.
And be baptized every one of you in the name
water
of Jesus Christ.
Baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For what?
For the remission of sins.
And
ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Which now positions you to enter the kingdom.
Amen.
Keys to the kingdom includes Acts chapter 16.
Acts 16.
Yes, the Philippian jailer. Notice what he asked the apostles in verse 30.
Acts 16:30. And brought them out and said, Sirs, What must I do to be saved?
Again.
Sirs, what must I do to be saved?
Again.
Sirs, what must I do to
what be saved? What is the key? Verse 31.
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized.
And what?
Was baptized.
Was baptized,
he and all his, straightway.
In answer to his question, what must we do
to be saved?
To be saved, you must be baptized.
Hallelujah.
You must, he said, the key to the kingdom of heaven, John chapter 3, verse 5.
John 3, 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee,
except
a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom
of
God.
Okay, now.
Wow.
So what is the key there?
Water and of spirit.
To be born of water and of spirit. And baptism of the Holy Ghost.
And when you were reading your article earlier,
yes,
you said that it signifies rebirth.
Exactly.
The water. I think I can find it.
Exactly.
Where it says it signifies both the womb and the grave.
Exactly.
That's being immersed in the water.
And that was a practice.
Wow.
You see?
Wow.
The womb.
Yes. For the observant Jew, the mikvah, that's the pool, personifies both the womb and the grave. And consequently rebirth.
Because you talk about being buried with him.
Wow.
And then it produced a new birth.
So without controversy, the water here is water baptism.
Water baptism, water. Certainly. Certainly. And Mark chapter 16.
My Lord.
Verse 15 and verse 16.
Mark 16 verse 15 and 16 says, okay, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Yes.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Okay. You see now, he that believeth and is baptized, this baptism here is what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of in where we just read in John chapter 3 verse 5. Except you are born of what?
Water and of the
water
spirit.
And this. Of spirit. And that is why you see Apostle Paul, where we read in Acts chapter 19, where he met them, you know, he ensured that they were baptized with water first. Then he ministered the spirit.
That's someone that knows the way of salvation.
You see? They were baptized because you must be baptized of water and of spirit. And in the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10.
Acts 10.
Yes.
Yes, sir. From verse what, sir?
Yes. You will notice that maybe from verse 46.
For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God.
While Peter yet spake, verse 44.
Okay. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which had this word. And they of the circumcision which believed.
They now received the Holy Ghost. See, Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir. And as many as came in Peter, because that the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost?
Hey. Water.
As well as we.
The Spirit.
And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord.
Water and Spirit. This one now is not John baptizing.
Because this man said, the moment the Holy Ghost came, water baptism expired.
That is a damnable heresy.
Hey.
It's a damnable heresy. And I want you to note that, just like was a practice in Israel, that for a marriage that is taking place, that the bride and also the groom have to
undergo
water baptism. That is why Jesus Christ said, fulfill all righteousness. He was the groom.
Woo.
As is the practice in Israel.
Hallelujah.
And we, the bride,
we also
have to. And that is done immediately before the marriage.
Amen.
You see, and remember why I say it's a marriage, because when you enter that water, you enter now and come out in the name of your husband.
Hallelujah.
It's a spiritual marriage ceremony. It's a spiritual marriage ceremony where a priest comes and joins the two of you, the husband and the wife, and pronounces you husband and wife, and you take upon his name and drop your new nature, your old nature. Now you become Mrs. Ogugwa, Mrs. Jesus. Mrs. Jesus. So also, the evangelist, the pastor, upon your confession and repentance, he brings you for that marriage, puts you inside that water, cleanses you, and then brings you out bearing the name of your husband. Water baptism. That is the significance of water baptism. Any other thing to downplay that is a damnable heresy. Water baptism has not expired. And take note that the commandment was given in Matthew 28 and verse 19.
Matthew 28 verse 19.
And that commandment was not given to John. John was dead and gone. This is now Jesus himself, the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. What did he say?
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them.
So what is he saying? Jesus said we should go and baptize. Abel Damina is saying baptism has expired. Damnable heresy.
Amen.
Jesus himself said we should go and preach and baptize. You see? And on the day of Pentecost, read verse 40.
Acts 2 verse 40.
In fact, read it from verse 39.
Acts 2 from verse 39.
38 and 39, so that some people have not read.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
And ye shall receive, after you have baptized, you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
For the promise is unto you and to your children.
That promise there to repent and be baptized. If you do that, there is a promise of the receipt of the gift of the Holy Ghost. That promise is unto you, the Jews,
and to your children.
Unto your children,
and
after
to all that are afar off,
and those that who are not even in Jerusalem,
even
at that
as
time,
many as the Lord our God shall call,
like we here, the Gentile that he has called. Verse 41,
and with many other words,
verse 40, yes,
did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation.
It's a process of salvation. And finally,
then they that gladly received his word were baptized.
We are baptized, water baptism.
And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
So why will one day 3,000 were baptized after John died long and gone, Christ himself dead and gone, and baptism has continued from then, and it will continue until the last elect comes in and the rapture takes place?
Wow. So there's some people arguments against water baptism. You've been able to knock down some, but I want you to touch some. Yes. For instance, who baptized the thief on the cross? Somebody will ask, did the thief on the cross, did he do water baptism? What can you say about that?
Now I want you to note that it is just common sense. Let me not go too far. The thief on the cross was not under grace. The thief on the cross recognized Jesus, which was the purpose of John's baptism.
Amen.
He recognized Jesus as the one that takes away the sins of the world. He was not under grace. He was still under the law. Therefore, the thief, so to say, is the last that came in. You know, the last elect that came in before
for the ushering in of grace.
Before the ushering of grace.
Okay. There's still two more arguments, but we'll go on a short break. When we'll come back, these two ones, I hope the pastor will not find them too tough. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.